Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. It's that time. It's Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And I am logging into the chat room as we speak for your questions and comments on tonight's show. Hello, everyone.
Hey, and as everybody
Happy Monday,
knows,
all over.
That is the producer supreme, Candace.
Yay. Happy Monday, fellas.
Yeah, hey. So how was everybody's day?
Pretty
day.
Pretty good. Can't complain at all, you know.
Fair to middling.
There you go. That's why I just went with the day, because I might as well venture into danger. So how was your week, Candace?
Really? Fair.
Okay. Well, we'll take what
I didn't
we can
say
get.
Bad. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, sometimes God give you good weeks to show that you're not weak. Sometimes.
We'll make that a bumper sticker, a T-shirt or something.
There you go.
So what today I have been
excited all day. I'm ready to hear people's comments on tonight's show.
Yeah, this show is just
so awesome.
This will be our first part two of the new year. So, Officer Nightstick Part 2, we going back in it again. I hope everybody who tuned in last week will be tuned in this week, because we going right back into it with a lot more fuel for the fire, I guess. Maybe that's the wrong word to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering why you said it at first, but I kept it to myself.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? They invited my man to a cookout, I see.
Oh, yeah, your boy Chris.
Yeah, they invited Chris to a cookout, and
you know,
he didn't
funny?
Know that he was the guest of honor, huh?
I didn't even know that driver's license are flame retardant now. Like, I didn't know that they don't burn. Like,
there you go.
You burn the whole house down, but the license still make it.
You know what I'm saying? I feel some kind of way about that.
Yeah. The magical
kind of way
accidental
that.
Fire.
I think there's more than meets the eye with that.
Oh, yeah. Now
I
he
really
got
do.
Nine
That's
different. Nah, mm-mm. I'm not new. I'm not biting that steak, sir.
Yeah, I'm with you, Devon.
Mm-hmm.
That does not make sense to me at all.
That's a real foul sense to it.
Yeah, that steak's a little tough.
So,
I don't like it.
Yeah.
You gave me nothing but fat. I don't
like
that.
And returning guest, Officer Theo Brooks will be with us in the second hour, man. He is up and hyped for it. So.
Of course.
That's
he
a
is.
Good thing.
Of course.
So yeah, we'll be getting into him, the barbecue and all of that.
That's crazy. What do you want
That's
your fine. Christopher? That's what saying. How you want your Christopher?
Oh, there you go. There you go. So who we hollering at, man?
All right. First off, we definitely gotta holler at Truth Brother Family. Our own boy Anthony Davis. Gotta give him a shout out.
How's the unibrow? It's big and valuable.
Definitely. The crazy part is, one, he was just at the had a ball at the All-Star Weekend, did his thing at the Rising Star thing. So definitely gotta give him a shout out. Still in the race for that Rookie of the Year, you know, so hopefully everything will work out best for him. So good luck with that. Keeping it NBA, though, today, Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers, died today. 80 years old, you know. Don't know what that do for y'all. I'm sure it don't do much for Ray. He got a few jokes, I'm sure, about how that don't work out in his world.
The bus finally stopped.
No, that's just wrong.
Bus finally ran out of
but
gas.
He was just 80, huh?
Yeah, just 80. That's all.
Oh.
Bill got him beat by some years. But, yeah. But, you know, he owned him a lot of Django, so... quite a few Django's.
See, wow. That's messed up.
Hey, he was an owner. So yeah, definitely got to give him his due. Got to say what's up to Lord Washington. Congratulations to a friend, True Brother family, Destiny Hampton, who just had a baby girl. Got to say what's up to her. And condolences out again to Diana Bell. She just lost another family member. So we got to say condolences from the True Brothers. Keep your head up. You know, I know it's hard now, but you trust me, every day you'll get through it. For DJ's B-Days, we got JL Woodson, our boy who keeps winning.
Yeah.
What's going on, JL? Happy birthday, boy. Lauren Water, Deanna Forrest, Joshua B. Austin, gotta say Crystal Keys, I'm sorry, Devon Scott, say happy birthday to them, and to True Brother family. Roderick Gage got a birthday coming up, so we gotta send him out a happy birthday as well.
That's right, little bro. What's happening, man?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's another dude can't lose.
I know, man. I'm winning people everywhere. Where's my lottery ticket is what I'm saying. I've been doing scratch-offs for years. When do I get to hit that number 37? That's what I'm asking.
In due time.
Well, this True Brothers ain't taking off. We gonna be on VH1 for real. But yeah, I blew it. I threw it all behind the blog talk.
Behind the blog talk.
Yep. And it's
live scandals and betrayal.
Yep. It's gonna be straight, and they're gonna have me on there sitting right on the old rusty Nova saying, "Yep, I blew up True Brother, sure did." sipping on some Bacardi Dark.
Oh,
my side hurts so bad right now. That just made me laugh. But and then that was it for DJ's B-Day. So happy birthday to all. And I hope y'all enjoy your day from the True Brother family.
There you go. So with all that out the way, let's make the big splash. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Greetings and salutations. This is Ken Clark of The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by Bobby Christina's Other Brother Lover Rubbers. For when your adopted brother looks too damn good.
And also by Thor's Hammers, Hammers Built for a God.
That still makes me laugh, man.
Other Brother Lover Rubbers. Yeah, she was just on the cover of what is it?
I was gonna
say, already.
Using them. She's pregnant now, right?
Uh huh.
She's pregnant by her other brother lover. That's
so he looked. He really looked too damn good. Nah, the hell with them condoms.
It's too late. We got something in common. That's the song. It wasn't that.
We two of a kind.
Pass me the
wow.
Okay.
Wow,
so
does that make you scared to adopt then?
You know what?
No,
I actually had this conversation with somebody. Actually, when we were younger, me and my brother, it's crazy. We was like, we never had a sister, and we wanted to have that feeling of protection of a little sister, right? So we said, you know, y'all should adopt a girl. So we can, you know, they was like, no, sir. Now we just.
Yeah, and they was probably looking at you when they said it, didn't they?
Looking me right in the face, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No one of your color could do something so vile.
That's
wow.
My see.
Yeah. Oh, nah. I got that. I got the full no. Your light-skinned brother might get away with it, but you look like you commit crimes for fun.
That dude.
Come on.
That is just so wrong.
Come on.
On so many levels.
He's light-skinned and love Jesus. You, on the other hand.
Tyler Perry presents. Not in this family.
Oh.
If you like Mama Saw Jesus in a Toaster, you're going to love Tyler Perry's new play. Not in this family.
You are way too dark for me to let this light-skinned woman into this house.
Toast should not be burned.
There you are asking for an adopted sister in your boxer shorts. That's messed up.
Not in this family. You'll laugh. What? You'll cry.
Oh, wow.
Starring Chris Jonas' body. That's
okay. Dang. See?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Here we go. First story out the door, right? Check this out. I'm going to try to get through this, y'all. I swear. I'm going to laugh. I know it, but I'm going to do my best. Here
Uh-oh.
We go. Man stabbed when he refused to change positions during threesome.
Hey, dog, it's my turn.
Yes.
Hey, man. It's my turn. You sweating a little too hard, and that's my wife. Hey, man.
Yes,
you are making her holler
that.
A little bit too loud.
Bit, it's my turn. Hey, baby. And then she went quiet as a mouse.
Look at him in the face like, I wish you'd get back here again.
Right. Hey, baby. This is fun, right? Yeah, he is hacking at air. There's a little more room in here than I'm used to. But you're having fun, right?
Who's been in my house moving furniture?
My man went in there making room. This cage is a little too tight. We need to make some room.
That is messed
up. I could have swore I parked my little Jetta in here, but it feels like the Escalade's been through here. Who's been parking their truck in my garage? Okay, we got to get into this. A menage a trois went from pleasure to pain when Ashley Hunter, who is a guy, reportedly stabbed Orlando DeWitt, 37.
Yep, and we know who Orlando DeWitt is, don't we?
The killer, anyway, doing the sex act. The stabbing allegedly occurred when DeWitt reportedly refused to switch positions during the sexual romp. Hunter and DeWitt who had formed a relationship in prison.
Here we go. Hey, man, not in front of my wife. Orlando went back to prison on him. Hey, man, not in front. We said we would never do this in front of my wife.
He went full big hutch on him.
Oh, my God.
Hunter and DeWitt, who had formed a relationship in prison, were partying with a few female acquaintances last Friday in Fargo, North Dakota. The festivities were moved to Hunter's home and reportedly continued way into the wee hours of the morning.
The wee hours.
The wee hours. DeWitt and Hunter became sexually involved with a woman at the residence who is only identified as Letitia.
Orlando's girl.
She was reportedly servicing both men, with Hunter allegedly receiving oral favors when DeWitt asked his friend to change positions with him. When Hunter refused DeWitt's request, the two men began a heated argument that escalated into violence. According to the Fargo Police Department, Hunter reportedly pulled out a 12-inch butcher knife from his sofa and began wielding it at DeWitt, and Letitia ran into the bathroom. Hunter allegedly kept spewing threats.
Who's shaking his sofa?
One of them dudes from the prison.
You gotta always have security.
Yep, there
they
it
don't
is.
Let the ex-cons have ADT. They gotta have their own.
There you go.
Shaking couch.
Mm.
Hunter allegedly kept spewing threats at the man and forced his way into the bathroom. DeWitt decided to make a run for the front door, and while he was able to get through the first door, by the time he reached the exterior door of the home, Hunter's knife reportedly sliced right in the back of his left arm. Even though he had been stabbed, DeWitt did manage to make it out of Hunter's home, and as he ran out, he reportedly grabbed Letitia's cell phone off the table and used to call 911 from an alley. Here's my part. As he cowered in the alley naked, DeWitt could reportedly hear Hunter yelling that he was going to kill him and that he could also get his clothing off the front porch. When police investigators arrived to the scene, they recovered the butcher knife that was allegedly used to stab DeWitt. They also found a trail of blood which led from Hunter's home into the alley. Hunter remains in jail in lieu of $5,000 bail and is scheduled for a March 13th court appearance.
And in the meantime, Jason and Letitia, I finally got that servicing I was asking for.
Nah, that boy got upset because she heard your boy DeWitt was moaning louder than what ass he was used to giving him.
All right, and when he asked to change positions, it wasn't with him, it was with Letitia. Move over.
Excuse me, I'm going to need you to get up, miss. He's mine.
That's my microphone you're speaking into.
Just to give you a heads up.
That is
okay. Oh, wow.
Yes, sir. Just to give you a heads up. That's mine.
That's my mic you're speaking into. I don't need you giving the inaugural address right now. Oh, wow. There's so many places we can go with that.
Yeah.
But we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we'll jump right into all of it. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
This is something like the Holocaust. Millions of our people lost. Bow heads and pray to the Lord.
If you ask me, Trey Songz is the best singer in the world.
Girl, have you heard Chris Brown?
Thank you. Okay, whatever. All he talk about is strippers, money, slapping girls, and Lamborghinis.
But he talk about sexual activities.
Okay, but who look better?
Chris Brown.
Whatever.
No. What about Justin Bieber?
He's gay.
Exactly.
That's not right, girls.
Wow, it's Yvonne from Truth Brothers Radio.
My mom hates him.
That's right. And using words like gay to insult someone is socially wrong and offensive. Use words like poop booty, skittle bag, wrist down, lady boys, fairies, sweetness, drag queens, switch hitters, ass burglars, white beards, something like that.
Thanks, Avon. Now we know.
And no one will keep y'all asses out the liquor store. Two fingers.
Two Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, we're back, and let that be a lesson to you. Sometimes they're called shank handlers.
I'm sorry, I'm still having another commercial.
Shank handlers. I got a million ways to get it.
amazing how them breaks with. You went from I can't stop with just Vince right into that to that to on to the next one. Like, it just
who,
fits.
Oh, who gonna stop me now?
Black strap, you know what that's for. White juice, you know what that's for.
There you go.
It's for my necklace.
Wow.
One
yeah.
made of pearl.
Poor Letitia. For all you ladies who be wanting those type of threesomes, that's
See?
How it can go terribly wrong.
When threesomes go bad.
When threesomes go bad. They rarely go bad when it's two tulips in the room, but boy, if it's two swords, you got a problem.
Excuse me, I think it's my turn, Ollie. See, y'all need to stop being selfish.
Y'all need to quit being selfish. Only one plumber to a pipe.
Oh, Jesus.
You have to understand, we not doing this for us, see? You, how many times have you seen the girl-girl threesome go bad? Or
right.
You don't hear that. You don't hear about the girl-girl.
It can,
girl.
Though, I guess.
And 818-514-1202. If you have heard of the girl threesome going bad, the girl on girl, not the guy girl guy. I don't like those. Those ain't for me.
Right. Right.
Ain't that
but
a mess.
Yeah, right. That's why Three's Company was on for so long. Those
yeah.
go well.
You can't tell me if Jack lived with his neighbor and Chrissy was there.
Right. What was Jack's friend's name?
Larry.
Larry, yeah.
Yeah,
Larry.
Jack and
yep.
Larry and Chrissy, someone was going to get killed. Jack would have
yep.
been found laying in the floor with a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack would have probably been out of there.
There's no, nah. I believe that we need, look, we too selfish to share.
There you go.
So
there you go. You can't put two prison dogs in a room.
Then here's my thing.
Excuse me,
they
sir.
They formed
I think
that relationship
turn.
In jail. They started rough handling in jail.
Right. So who you think they was rough handling with each other?
Right. Then they get out, and what did you think was gonna happen? You thought because they were gay in jail, oh well, they'll be fine if I do them both. Nah.
Yep. One dude was
gay because he wanted to. The other one was forced into it. That's the problem.
Right.
And my man who was forced into it, when he got out, he was like, woo, not doing that again.
There
met up with
Orlando.
Letitia.
Right. And Orlando was kicked back with Letitia like, yeah, this was worth the parole.
Right.
And my man is looking and like, you know what, can you scoot over? And Orlando like, oh, you want to get in on it? Yeah, hey, wait a minute. Now don't move, huh? He like, no. You're doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
Oh,
think about it. Ladies, think about it. You got your guy. You done talked him into your greatest fantasy. And what if that goes horribly wrong on the other side?
Yeah. Just food for thought, you know.
Right. You mess around and find out your man is a pipe fitter. You don't want that.
See, yeah. Yeah, see, that is another way on how them threesomes can go bad
mm-hmm.
that way. You find out that your man has been into this the whole, you find out he likes Tyler Perry movies.
There you go.
Now what you
There
do?
You go. An opera. And he looking at you with a smile on his face that you've never seen before.
Because another man is rubbing his shoulders. You cool with that, though. You still saying that's your man.
Right.
So, all right.
Okay. All right, yeah. Moving right along. Here we go. Jalene Garcia Cali, teacher. Charged with having sex with student multiple times inside classroom. Flees to Florida.
Damn, they be winning down there, boy.
Yeah, Jaleen Garcia Cali, a 28-year-old teacher at a New Jersey high school, was jailed Thursday after she allegedly had sex with a 16-year-old student inside her classroom, then fled to Florida after she realized authorities were hot on her tail. According to police, Cali had sex multiple times with a 16-year-old male student inside her classroom at Plainfield High School in New Jersey. Investigators say Cali, who taught algebra at school, had sex with the student on at least three occasions. The alleged sexual encounters began in December and continued until the student began discussing the encounters with friends and family.
He was bragging.
Yeah.
You know, I said this.
And they kept wondering, how are you passing algebra when you barely got out of basic math last year? Prosecutors believe the sexual encounters took place during the times when school was in session. When Kelly learned that the student was talking about the encounter, she fled to Broward County, Florida, and checked herself into a mental facility.
I'm crazy in love with
I'm crazy. Check me out. She also allegedly sent messages to the victim demanding that he get rid of all communications that took place between the pair. He ignored the demand and then turned the information over to detectives.
Yes, sir.
Maybe a snitch. Wow.
Yep. Yes, sir.
U.S. Marshal.
Yes,
he was put in a situation where he had to tell.
No, I don't think he was. I just think
he kept
his lips shut. He wouldn't have to say nothing. U.S. Marshals traced the messages to Garcia's current location in Florida and obtained a warrant for her arrest on Tuesday. U.S. Marshals joined the Davies Police Department and took Cali into custody on Thursday. Garcia was booked into the Broward County Jail and charged with sexual assault and child abuse because she abused him. She will attend extradition hearings on Monday and is expected back in Jersey by early next week. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Let me ask you something, man. Would you have been bragging to friends and family about your study hall teacher?
My friends, yeah.
You'd have told your friends I'm passing algebra.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. Like, if you at that age and you doing it, the reason you doing it is that so you can brag to somebody about it. At that age. So he's not doing it for the thrill of that. It is that, but at the same time, you doing it to tell some, I'd have told a couple of dudes I know would have kept their mouth shut.
Yeah, you think.
Man.
Yeah.
You definitely do that.
So she'd have been better off selling him in algebra.
Yeah, of course. Now, I don't know what she ran to Florida for. That's the worst state we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Florida is not the state to go to right now. You did better jumping in a truck like Ray Caruth or something like that.
I know where to hide in my trunk. I know exactly where to hide in the trunk. They'll never find me in here. Oh, Ray.
I hope he's
enjoying his time in jail.
Did the report say how old the teacher was?
She was 28. 28. Yeah. And I got a picture of her. She's not ugly.
Yeah, I'm going to see that.
She didn't have to do that.
Because I've been itching to
like
get
that.
Back in school anyway. I'm going to have to see a picture of that. I'm planning on going down to Florida State, getting back in school anyway. Let's just see how that goes.
16.
There you go.
I look it.
Yeah,
there you go.
Sort of.
I got you. Okay. Well, look, let's go ahead and go into this next break, and then Candace, you on deck. Truth Brothers Radio.
And I brought
Brothers Radio.
About anything else.
Go to your room and lock the door, cause when you try it once, you want to try it some more. Time doesn't matter, and that's a fact. It might be slow, but it's a big impact. Oh. But you're not, but you're not. Grab a bag of corn nuts and bust the nut. Lightly just get in part as well. Enjoy yourself, we won't tell. Everybody does it, they like it a lot. You can do it at school, just don't get caught. It takes a few minutes if you don't delay. Take your time, make your run from day.
Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of corn nuts and bust a nut. They're lightly toasted and hard as well.
Enjoy yourself, we won't tell.
Corn nuts, an intensely crunchy corn snack, comes in 7 nut-busting flavors. Bust a nut at a convenience store.
Make my plan. The world is a place where I take my stand. The beauty of life is mine today. They cannot take my mind.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Fuck what you heard, I'm from Africa. This ain't no act, it's mathematical. Past the black radical, I choose the M1 because it's practical. Nothing would change, we ain't protecting no names, it's all factual. They push the wrong buttons, count down to detonate. Brooklyn's on the way, and the world will have to speculate. This is what we learn in the streets. Fuck a degree, believe in none of what you hear and half of what you see.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back with our terrible truth. And I'm going to delve into my story where two brothers blow up a house celebrating lottery win in Kansas. Yeah, something, right? Two Kansas brothers were lucky, then again not so lucky, and then fortunate again after both survived an explosion that destroyed their house. The Wichita Eagle reports that the two brothers were partying together to celebrate a $75,000 winning lottery ticket when they accidentally blew up their Wichita home. Neither of the brothers' names has been reported. One of the brothers went to the kitchen to refuel the butane torches they had planned to use to light their bongs. He emptied a couple of large cans of butane lighter fluid, leaking butane into the air. The butane vapor reached the pilot light in the furnace, and as you may expect, kaboom. Wichita Police Sergeant Bruce Watch said at a press conference. Yes, it was.
Wow.
KFDL reports that the injured brother's girlfriend drove him to the hospital and then, quote-unquote, sped off and has not been found. The man was treated for second-degree burns and is in stable condition. The other brother was arrested on drug charges after telling the police he had meth and marijuana in the home. KAKE reported that there were also children in the home, though there were no reports that they were injured. Yeah.
Now that's a fire.
Yes, it was. They didn't have no shoes or nothing, Jesus.
Oh, they had a dollar party.
They didn't have no shoes or nothing, Jesus.
They had a dollar party.
Oh.
Dude, my bong is going dry. Bring that butane in here. Wow.
Wow.
And when all of the damages get added up with the court costs, it'll come out to $75,000.
Look.
Wait. Like, y'all did all that for $75,000? Like, that's not even, I understand if you have a small something, yeah, but that's not $75,000 worth of partying.
That ain't, you saying that ain't I'll never work again partying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to 75, you can put up something. But tomorrow, you're still over at the Walmart. It don't make a difference.
You're still making mess.
Yeah.
You just got
you're
more ingredients.
You're popping Molly. That's what you do.
There you go.
Oh, ooh,
oh,
my bad. Hey, oh, my bad.
That Molly crap is scary. I finally found out what's in that stuff.
Shout out to the crush, man. I was like...
okay.
We got a lot of I'm monitoring the Facebook and everything. We got a lot of people with Facebook. So shout out to LaCrush.
Oh, that's the girl.
Huh? Yeah. LaCrush.
Yeah,
just
yeah, what's up, LaCrush?
But anyway, yeah. So they just decided to
cut loose and meth and crack. They covering both markets.
Yep.
They covering both markets.
Squirrel and coon for dinner. They going straight to the Outback. Everybody going.
No need. We got the Outback right here.
Bring that dark Outback. That's what we want you to do. Bring me a darky so we can throw him on the Barbie.
Now, see?
That's a fire.
I met a raccoon. I said squirrel and raccoon.
But hey, now I know we got a lot going on, but I have to get through this story real quick.
Go. Well, Candace ain't gonna let you get through it.
I'm a good one.
Remember?
Yeah, that's you, bro. That's you. Don't wanna let her read her story. That's you.
That's y'all. But it's cool.
Cool.
I'll be on my best behavior.
I tried to blame him, but that's cool. All right, y'all. Here we go. I'm going to do my absolute best again, right? I know y'all probably heard this one, too. Mom cuffed after stripping on stage at son's school assembly.
Oh, yeah.
She did what?
Now, that's a PTA mom for you.
PTA, what it stand for? Punani. Anyway, let me read that back. Mom cuffed after stripping on stage at son's school.
Yep, let's hear this one. 818-514-1202. Get that out
the way right now. I did see this headline, but I didn't get a chance to read the entire story. Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay, here we go, y'all. Here we go. Andrea Meters was arrested after she allegedly stepped onto the stage of her son's school assembly and began stripping before an audience of 200-plus students and staff.
No, that's not a deal.
Before you throw a ding, you gotta see Miss Meters. Not a good look.
Go woofer
beer.
The Price is Right. Bad music.
Yeah, it's you know what you need. You need a tuba when she walks. Like when she walks down the street, you need to play the tuba.
The tuba me.
You know what music you need. You know when Uncle Ruckus comes out on the Boondocks.
Yes.
That's what you need when she comes out. She's cockeyed. It's crazy. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Albany police responded to a call from North Albany Academy in upstate New York from a report of a woman exposing herself inside the school. When the cops arrived on the scene, staff informed them that Meters, who is 24, stepped onto the stage and began dancing with the students.
The 7-year-old.
She started dancing. No one expected her to join the assembly, though her dance was not seen as anything inappropriate. It had been going as a terrific event. The cafeteria was full. We probably had about 200 students in there from throughout the school, said Ron Lesko of the Albany School District. But it didn't take long for things to unravel, as Meters allegedly began dancing as if she was auditioning for the Players Club. Suddenly, she stepped on, she stepped to the front of the group, threw her coat, and stripped, stripped from the waist up.
Tell me, he didn't just say that.
The waist up, she took her shirt off?
Yeah, it's that time, boys. Milk for everyone.
It's time for health class.
Let me show y'all what PTA really stands for.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to show y'all what PTA really stands for.
Oh, no.
Suddenly, and trust me, we can't say what it stands for on this show. We can't say it. Suddenly, she stepped to the front of the group, threw off her coat, and, you know, stripped from the waist up. Staff quickly rushed to the stage, escorted her to the side, and shielded her away from the students while she waited for the cops to arrive. Looking
she
back
said,
at the
move. You can't, don't cut off my shine.
I can't pop it if y'all got me covered up. I'm trying to show my son how he got here.
Oh, my God.
Lesko said Meters was not acting unusual until she decided to that she wanted to strip. No behavior that that anyone encountered during the assembly as she spent the time talking to the principal, having perfect normal conversation. She was charged with 7 counts of endangering the welfare of a child and 1 count of public lewdness.
Oh
yes,
my God.
Sir.
And how did the children feel?
I mean,
what did the children have to say?
And yes,
oh, boo!
The
boo on you, sir!
Nah, they was like, move! I want to see Miss Meter.
Now that she's gawoofing.
Hey. But, yeah.
But seriously, she took her, I mean, so she was bare-chested?
Yes,
she took
ma'am.
Everything off?
Yep, she took that coat off, swung it around her head like the old people do when they dance.
So her shirt
there you go.
Yeah.
And then she threw it out there and said, now look
I've been to creative plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yep.
God.
Look at my udders. She threw it out her udders and just went in. I don't know about you, but I laughed something serious. Like when I.
Oh, wow. The poor boy.
Stuck. I didn't laugh. I was, oh, my God.
Oh, I
oh,
I
the poor boy.
The boy.
He's God. Just transfer him now. Send him to his grandparents. Transfer him now.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree.
I don't know about you.
If you was that boy, would you want to go to school that Monday?
On stage.
Yeah, nah, I couldn't. I could. I'm not even going to lie. I could not go to school Monday.
No,
after,
I just drop out. I don't care. I'm 7. I'm dropping out.
Because, you know, me being the dude that I am, oh, I'd have had jokes for days. When you
oh, yeah.
To
the, yep, the first one is your mama was showing her spoiled milk to everybody, huh?
Why your mama got nibbles on her knee? That's
your mama titties look like just like the ones on National Geographic.
Right. A lot of gas prices are rising, but your mom's breasts are falling.
On your
I don't know.
Thing.
He looks. Your mama belongs on the National Geographic. I saw her. She's there. Yeah, it's just
Sasquatch.
Yep, look like your mama should be chewing on beef jerky somewhere.
Getting
upset because the white boys keep. Remember that, no, the commercial, the white boys be teasing Sasquatch?
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, messing with Sasquatch
time.
Oh,
those commercials. I love those.
Yes. That's,
yeah,
that's
who don't love messing with Sasquatch?
Messing with Sasquatch.
Yeah, and they be messing with him, too.
I cannot believe people in this world, man.
That is a mess.
Yeah, it's not the brightest thing you can do.
But the mom, she was 24. She off them mollies, man. Like, I don't
know if
y'all
see. Did they say she was on the molly?
Huh?
Did they say she was on that?
You know what? I don't, they didn't say it, but I've been watching. It's a lot of clips out here now.
It sure
is. Doing them mollies.
I saw one. Did you see the one with the guy at Target?
At Target, yes. Oh,
Jake.
I cried. Did you laugh?
I was stuck. When he took his shirt off, obviously this Molly stuff makes you your body overheat, so everybody always taking
you know
their
what?
Clothes off.
I'm putting
so
that video in
the
True Brothers.
There's a Target.
Yes, and he got butt naked.
Took
first
his shirt
off,
started singing,
he was standing at the
door.
Yes, he
it
was standing at the
he
door.
He pulled his pants down, Ray, sat on the ground.
Nah, remember
his body backwards.
Remember when he was just standing at the door for like
he
an
was
hour,
stuck.
Not moving, like
he was
frozen.
Stuck.
Then he just said, "You know what? Come out this shirt, drop these drawers and these pants." Now,
started
yes,
shaking.
And started shaking.
Wait, who is that?
Then,
it's just
this,
some
this,
guy.
This dude that was going off that Molly.
You know what? I'm putting the video.
Oh,
because
yeah, no, for a minute, that reminded me of another dude, but I got you.
No.
No.
No, totally different. Totally different. I know where you're going.
Something? I'm missing something
like
that? What's up?
I thought I was missing something. Y'all was talking about something. I didn't know.
Yeah,
and
no. Yeah, I'm going to you're going to make me tell that story. You're trying to make me tell that story.
Nah,
I tell
you
what
you're
talking
about. Jerk dance, remember?
Huh?
Remember the jerk dance, Devon?
Oh, yeah.
Right,
okay.
Right. We had a little teenage
nah,
kid who was doing
yard
work
that,
for
man.
Me.
You cannot
I ain't
do
saying
this.
His name.
Okay.
No, we're not going to delve into that. Nope.
Hold on. Before we get into that, I just posted the story and the picture of the mom in the Terrible Truth group. So, everybody, if you get a chance.
There you go. Run
please.
Over there and check out the Gwolfin.
Yeah. And please join the group. Join the Terrible Truth where all the stories we read here are posted in our group daily. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly. To prove to you that the stories are absolutely true.
Yeah. And
you can't make half the stuff up.
You can't
really.
Make it up. Exactly.
Yeah, I cannot believe the audacity of the people now that's just out here. And then again, like what show we did? The one after the Super Bowl. We was talking about people taking these Molly pills and going crazy. And then it's like, I believe that's what it was. First it was the bath salts where we eat in your face. And now
but it's got bath salts in it too.
The Molly?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't know.
It's got the crack cocaine, the Molly and ecstasy in it. I mean, not the Molly, the crack cocaine, ecstasy, and then it's the bath salts in it.
Right,
who
is mixing this stuff up? Because you cannot tell me that that's a safe combination in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
you asking to die in the worst way possible.
But
hey, I can't call it. I can't call it.
Nope, can't.
But since we can't call it, I got a question for y'all, and we might as well just kind of just dip into this a little bit right now. Is it just me, or does anybody else out there question the magical fire that burnt up my man Christopher Donner?
Oh, I've been questioning.
I know
that don't sound a little Waco-ish to you?
Dude.
You got him cornered. Why would you burn the place down? What sense did that make? Unless you didn't want him alive.
You know what I said, man. I'm going to be honest with you. The whole thing now just seemed to not make sense to me. It's not even just this now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just other things that just coming out. Like, y'all have this. You like you said, you had him surrounded. Then you said you don't know if it's him. But he was so good at what he did, he killed one of your guys. So a random guy. Whose house y'all just so happened to pop up on had the training to take out one of your guys. That there may be.
But you didn't know it was him, but you magically burnt the place. You burnt the place down, but you wasn't sure it was him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fire.
Yeah. It's a lot of that does not make sense to me.
Yeah.
And you know,
and,
they
came
with the reward.
The
reward told you that they didn't want him alive.
Right.
You remember the reward,
now,
right,
Candace? Funny. Today I read a report
that from the homeowners, the family he had hostage, and how they came out and said, look, he told us that he wasn't going to kill us and that he just wanted to clear his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from his hostages.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Even the guy who he said, the guy who they said he carjacked, he said
exactly.
He, real
he said,
nice
"Look,
shit.
Man, I don't want to kill you. Just go ahead and get the walking, you and your dog." He said, "Can I get my leash?" No, get the walking.
Yeah,
right.
But it was. I don't. It's a lot of this. This not. It just. It's not adding up to me. And I think that I don't know if they're going to try to bury it. But as a matter of fact, scratch that. I know they're going to try to bury it before a lot of this comes out. But, again, to me, it's too much of that. It's too many holes in that.
I got you. I'm going to be honest with you. They don't have to bury it. The press is already implicit in it. They don't have to bury it. You know, last night, CNN had a supposedly news story about this, and it was the biggest piece of fluff garbage, dude. They had this psychiatrist, a Dr. Mohande. And this dude, now this is the thing that they said. Even though he's never spoke to Christopher Donner, he read our reports, and this is his diagnosis. Oh, he's crazy. Never spoke to the man.
But
from reading your reports, I can see that he's totally delusional, and he's this and he's that. I'm like, you sorry piece of crap.
Of course.
And then they was talking about him clearing his name, but they didn't go into anything that he really said, and they didn't say that, hey, you know, did either the lady beat the suspect or she didn't. Either she kicked the dude in the face or she didn't. Now, the dude said that she kicked him in the face. He said she kicked him in the face, but he magically got fired for it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Just awfully, awfully, awfully shady. And like I say, that whole damn reward, that reward was killing me too.
$1 million.
That's how dude came out, the police chief came out in the press conference, put his pinky to his lips and said,
$1 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hate everybody.
I'm sorry.
The whole thing stinks, man.
Why
didn't you take the guy alive? Because you didn't want him talking. You didn't want him talking.
They didn't want him talking. I totally agree with that. Because you just accidentally, on purpose. You guys are thoroughly trained for this.
Oops. That ain't tear grass. That's incendiary grenades.
Oh, well.
God damn it, Billy, you did it again.
Yep.
Now that's a fire.
There you go.
Nah, accidentally on purpose.
Accidentally on purpose.
That's what that was.
Accidentally on purpose. And y'all know we are doing part two of Officer Nightstick. Christopher Donner is included in the conversation. Bring everything you got. I want to hear from some of y'all out there. I want to hear your stories of when you got pulled over, when a friend got pulled over, or whatever. We want to hear your stories out there. We want you part
of
this conversation.
If you just have general questions.
Yes.
And
some of the police officers, I'm hoping you're listening again, like y'all was listening last week. We want your comments too. You know, we had an Illinois State Trooper on last week. We gave him plenty of time. We let him say everything he wanted to say. You know how we get down on this show. We're going to let you say whatever it is you want to say.
Absolutely.
In that order. Wow.
In that order. But, yeah, the
I'm
whole
just
thing
really hoping
to me.
He got away and he's in the Swiss Alps somewhere.
Ah,
I'm really hoping.
Right.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. And then they said that he shot himself because there's no way they didn't put a bullet in him after they found the burnt body. That didn't happen. He said, oh, no, they threw fire grenades. Let me kill myself.
Of course. You didn't hear?
Mm.
I
don't know. But the media is going to overshadow anything that he was grieving about because of the people he killed.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's just going to automatically trump anything that he tried to do, any points he tried to make.
And again, where's the news reports? Where's the news reports
investigating and talking about the blue line, because obviously the blue line is real. The blue
line
exists.
Well, I'm hoping that our officers can delve into that this evening and explain what that is.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping
because
for that.
Obviously there's a big penalty if you come out and say something against a fellow officer.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's always been like an unwritten code, though. They don't, cops don't give each other tickets. Cops don't, you know, rat on each other. Cops don't, they always help each other out. They seem to go in harder if a cop dies than they would if, you know, a person got shot. It's always been that way, though. So.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this clip, and then when we come back, we're going to be going into the second hour where we're going to be going into Officer Nightstick, Part 2, Truth Brothers Radio.
That's the sound that I put in. That's the sound that I mean. That's the sound that I put in. That's the sound that I mean. That's the sound that I put in. That's the sound that I mean. That's the sound that I mean.
I'm not fucking
speaking.
No way. That's why I'm speaking. Don't get defensive. Disrespect plus me. I'm not your father. You hear me? I'm not your father. You give that attitude to your father. You give it to me, I'll smack your
father. Yeah, I don't have a father.
Shut your mouth, I'm talking.
Eric, shut up.
Where are you from?
Dude, I didn't do that.
Where are you from? Sit down. Sit down, I'm not a dude. You're damn right you're calling your mother.
Eric,
one more time. Are you from the county or something? Where are you from? I'd like to call you. First of all, you disrespected me, this badge, and my department. You understand me? When I'm talking to you, you shut your mouth and you listen. Obviously, your parents don't put a foot in your butt quite enough because you don't understand the meaning of respect. First of all, you better learn how to speak. I'm not man, I'm not dude. I am Officer Rivieri. Now, the sooner you learn that, the longer you're going to live in this world. But you go around doing this kind of stuff, somebody's going to kill you.
Well, too often we show you cop beatdowns caught on tape, but this one is different. It's another cop who intervened, and now she's about to get fired for it. Kirsten Cole has more on the story. Kirsten?
Yeah, Jody, this one just does not make sense. An officer brave enough to stop two other officers who are beating an emotionally disturbed young man ended up getting suspended for it, and she's facing firing tomorrow. She says it's worse than just not being a part of the boys' club. It's really because she crossed the line, the blue line. It's hard to listen to a mother, Tara, screaming for police to stop punching her son on their front lawn. She had called to have her emotionally disturbed son, Kyle, taken to the hospital. Pagoda police responded while waiting for the ambulance. Officer Regina Tasca got the call. But it's the two backup officers from Ridgefield Park who deliver the beating.
The Ridgefield Park officer automatically charges and takes him down to the ground. Another police officer from Ridgefield Park comes in his car, flies to the scene, just starts punching him in the head.
Kyle never threatened, wasn't violent, didn't have a weapon. Eventually, Officer Tasca was able to pry the punching Ridgefield Park officer off Kyle, as seen in this picture taken by his mom, who later commended Tasca.
I appreciate you protecting him when the officer attacked him. I can't figure out what I would have done without you at the scene.
This was excessive force used against an emotionally disturbed person. This was an unlawful tackle. This was punching.
What happens next is baffling.
He's asking me to turn over my weapon.
Pagoda PD suspended Tasca for stopping the officer's excessive violence. They never questioned those Ridgefield Park officers about the tackle, the punches. Kyle was taken to the hospital, his bruises documented, but no charges were ever filed. Officer Tasca says the real reason why she's being called out on these charges, because she crossed the blue line. She refused to support another officer even when his actions turned violent. The other problem, the Bogota Police Department is very small, fewer than 20 officers, and here she is a definitive minority.
They've never had a female officer before, and the person only gay female officer.
Despite Tasca's numerous commendations and awards, her 11 years on the job, it can all end this week if a judge decides she should indeed be fired.
That's terminating her. They're destroying her reputation.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
All right, family, and I'm logged into the chat room now for all your questions and comments on tonight's topic, Officer Nightstick Part 2. Now, we definitely want to hear from you guys tonight, either via chat room, call in to the station, as Ray said, 818-514-1202. Let's hear from you tonight.
There you go.
And, yep. Ray, I'll let you introduce our guest.
Yeah, and coming back for his second week, everybody's favorite officer, Officer Theo Brooks, man. How you doing, man? Let's give him a big round of applause.
That's right.
All right, Ray, Candace, Devon, it was great to be back, especially part two on what I thought was a great conversation last week that I don't think we wanted to end.
Yeah, obviously.
Really?
That's why we had to do part two.
Yeah. So let's get to rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you a question, man. From your extensive years as a police officer, can you explain the procedure on when to throw a grenade and what type of grenade you're supposed to throw?
Right. Well, I guess the world has witnessed what they have found to be quite. How could I say? I can't quite find a word, but curious raid to try to get someone who has bunkered themselves down into a cabin. Mostly my experience, Ray, has always been known that people, or actually when we do a raid, or the raids I've been on, you throw a percussion grenade, which, you know, pretty much a big bang, you know, the one that you see on cops, the big bang. And, you know, then you would go in. Now, when we seen that on television with the heat grenade, I guess, to try to warm up the house or heat up the house, I didn't understand that concept. I mean, I've never been a SWAT captain, so, you know, maybe someone who's been along that line. I mean, I've never, or the raids I've been on, we have never thrown no type of grenade to that extent that, you know, it will burn someone's house down. And I think if everybody was watching live television, in which I always tell people it's good to have a scanner, I mean, you heard it yourself. Let's burn them down or burn them out. And that was kind of self-explanatory. You just need to listen to the words when people try to explain it. It's almost like Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. You know, he didn't have sex with that woman, but what did he do? He had sex.
Right.
You know, so when they say that we did not mean or we accidentally threw, you know, whatever they were trying to say into the house. I don't think it was, I don't see it as no accident. I think they knew what they're doing. They mm-hmm. heard the transmission over there yourself.
There you go. 818-514-1202. Anybody who got any questions for our special guest, feel free to call in and don't be afraid to put anything you got out there in the air, put it out there. Yeah, I just found the whole thing, like I say, last week we were talking about the reward. All of that stuff to me was aimed at trying to put pressure on the public and then put pressure on him knowing that they were going to take him out. I mean, if you put a $1 million reward on somebody, you want people out there headhunting. You want people
Absolutely.
Out there looking for any bald-head black guy that they can find and hoping that
right.
they get lucky.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I can tell from experience. I've had a partner who was wounded, and I can tell you when that call goes out and you grabbing your bag from home or if you're on the street and you're looking for those individuals who shot that officer, you know, you're going to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
by that being a fellow officer, I can understand how that might feel personal, especially if it's somebody you know and that you've worked with for years and you care about. I totally get all of that. And, you know, I try to tell people all the time, when you've got organized forces like the police, like the military, the camaraderie that builds around those people in that thing is a very serious, strong bond. I mean, I've got friends that I was in the military with. We're still tight to this day, and we haven't seen each other in years, and when we see each other, it's like the bond never went away. It's like we mm-hmm. hadn't seen, like we just seen each other yesterday. So I understand all of that, and when people put on that hat to go into that mold, you have to take that stuff seriously. You know, during the L.A. riots, I used to tell people don't understand, when they had called the Marines in there to go ahead and take the city back, people don't understand, those guys had orders to be locked and loaded. When you're locked and loaded, you're prepared to get down, and it ain't no warning shots, and it ain't no bullhorns telling you to go home. When a force goes in somewhere locked and loaded, they mean business.
Right, right, right. And there's no stopping. How could you say it? They're not going to be complete to whatever task it is that they're trying to meet. By any means necessary at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't, you know, if I myself, when I watched the raid go down on television, I noticed that LAPD said, okay, we have our guys on the way. I went in and told my wife, I said, you know what? It's about to get ugly. Because it's personal. LAPD
mm-hmm.
is not finished.
Right.
The county sheriff was there, but no, LAPD wants the head of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my question is, isn't that out of their jurisdiction?
Yeah, they were, and what you've seen was more of, because LAPD want them, it was more like a cooperation type of deal.
Okay.
If we find them, we'll let you know, or probably, you know, since they had been looking for him for 9 days, you know, LAPD probably say, well, you know what, we can't find him. We're going to go back and follow our leads. You continue your leads. But, you know, if you find something, give us a call.
No, yep.
Yeah, and that's what happened, and that's why, you know, you heard that, yeah, they were on their choppers on their way out there, yeah, because they wanted a piece of that action because
mm-hmm.
they were not finished. They were not finished by far. So, they got their man, if you want to say that much, but, you know, you can see what was developing in the works when it came to when they had them cornered. It was
mm-hmm.
just how quick was it going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That was the key thing. How fast are they going to take him out? Because it was evident that he was not. And then you mean he shot two deputies at that, one of them died on the way to the hospital. Oh, so you know there was more blood in their eyes.
Oh,
you
mm-hmm.
know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the sheriffs are like, you know, we're not waiting. He just killed one of our boys. And, you know, that's probably what led to their whatever, the cabin being burned down. Because, you know, it kind of reminded me, I don't know if you ever watched Saving Private Ryan, when they first went on the beach and the Germans were just wiping out American soldiers.
Yeah.
Once they got
in
the bunker and they threw the flames and they said, let them burn.
Yeah.
For some reason, that was the attitude I believe that they had when it came to him. You know what?
He deserved anything he got at that point.
Right. Let him burn. And that was the thought that I had. We can't see him. We can't shoot him. Let him burn. You know,
right.
Not to say that that's what they were, you know, not that I'm speaking for them. But, I mean, this is what, you know, they need to understand the perspective of the public that's watching in. Because, as you said, the media will overshadow everything if they run it 24/7. And, you know, even the president said, with a media that's a 24-hour cycle now compared to when we were young kids where you heard it at 7 o'clock in the morning, then you heard it again at 10 o'clock at night. Now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's running 24/7. They had this man picture on television so many times through the 9 days, and
mm-hmm.
you know, there was control over the situation by means of the police department and not, you know, the officer. So
right.
he didn't have his chance to say what he wanted to say.
Exactly. And the media, and he was calling out to the media, hoping that the media would do some actual reporting, some actual investigative reporting, and none of that happened. He sent something to Anderson Cooper. And Anderson Cooper's secretary opened it up, took a peek at it, and sent it right on the police. I don't believe Anderson Cooper actually even looked at the thing. He was probably told what was in there so he could report it, but he didn't do any. They asked police chief or whoever it was. They asked him, did you know the guy? And the dude was like, I don't even remember him and whatever. And then they were showing this picture of these two shaking hands at some event.
Right.
I don't know nothing about it. And the one of the cops that he shot, I guess the dude is such a good marksman, he had a pin that this guy gives certain officers where he had put three slugs through it, and that was a nice tight group, so he's very good at what he does.
Right.
And
right.
he was sending a message, and he's trying to tell you that, hey, this dude is bogus, but the media never picked up on it. The media didn't do any research. My question is, either this female cop that started all the trouble, either she kicked this guy in the face or she didn't. And if she did kick the guy in the face, to me that opens up a whole lot of questions to how you took this guy's career when actually what he was reporting was actually true. Everything else after that is I'm not going to say it's inconsequential by no means because he took lives. But to me, that's point one. If he actually was reporting the truth and he crossed the supposed blue line, that opens up the question, where is the backup, where is the support system for cops who want to tell when they see crooked stuff going on?
And that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, well, you know, just to kind of follow through what you said, Ray, was that I've never seen an officer, well, at least here in this region, get fired for telling on another officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you may get is that when you go back to work, you're going to have a hell of a time when it comes to when you need backup or
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on who the guy was or whatever, because believe it or not, there's police politics very heavy. I mean, the politics in a police department is more heavier than probably the workplace or
no doubt.
And so, you know, I just found that shocking that this guy was fired. For being honest with someone, you know, with the case, with the, you know, her, you know, him letting them know that the officer, that she kicked this guy in the head, and which apparently something must be wrong. And sometimes, you know, I mean, my approach, if it was something like that, if I've seen an officer kicking, you know, someone, you know, I, you know, I'll look at it, and, you know, sometimes, you know, hey, you grab it, hey, man, hey, hey, while I'm here, you don't do that. And I mean it. And sometimes, you know, you lay that ground. And I'm sure he was the type that probably laid that same type of ground, but she didn't give a damn because who her father was.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Before we go any further, I want to put something else out there real quick to any of the police officers or law enforcement people that's out there listening to the show tonight. Look, first off, we understand you have a very tough job, and if you really dove into it, you guys should be paid a whole lot more money than you're actually getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the fact that you have such authority, and your word means a little more than the actual Joe Public do, because if you say I run the red light and I say I didn't, most likely the judge is going to listen to you that said I ran the red light.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing all of that and knowing that you have the powers to carry a weapon and that people are going to be coming to you for help. Now, we understand that you deal with a lot of scum out there and a lot of bad people, but at the same time, you have a serious responsibility to be as upfront as you can with the public and to treat people as humanely as possible. I understand if you pull me over and I jump out the car and swing on you,
exactly,
I get exactly what I deserve. If you listen to a lot of our terrible truth, when we say that and the cop properly tased so-and-so, we don't say the cop tased him for no reason. If you on bath salts running around naked in someone's house, you asking to get tased.
Absolutely.
It's not worse.
Right. And you know, I just want to throw this, Ray. I mean, you and Candace, you two know my circumstance. I just want the public to understand this, because you're telling the truth, and you guys know me personally, how down to earth I can be. I've always done everything by the book, and then whenever it came to have to become physical with somebody, I always did it by the book and to make it where I can come home. And what people need to understand is that a simple call that I was on that ended my 15-year career was, someone was a mental patient. And the father and the sister and every mother, they all knew this and didn't give all the information I knew. And when the guy attacked me, it snapped my back. And my disc was torn to the fact that it was leaking. And you guys knew how much I went through pain. I had to have a fusion. I can't never work again because this is a job. And I can tell you, it was not worth the pain, but I enjoy helping people. And so,
right.
You know, it's not a game when you see an officer become physical plus one, because his life can end up like mine, where
mm-hmm.
I had to learn how to walk all over again,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's very few like myself that will stand up and try to help a citizen like this. Should. I mean, like I said, I think I said it 100 times on the show. It's a different breed that's showing up out there. They don't care. They don't know. And then you have our people who don't care, don't know about what the police are thinking, and it causes a clash. And, I mean, it gets to the point where almost like we've seen with the L.A. riot. One don't care about the other, and you wonder when is it going to end, until someone actually physically says, like a leader says, hey, this shouldn't happen. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it is a tough, tough, tough job to do. It is very tough. And, you know, the circumstance, and believe it or not, the apology when I was in the emergency room of the father coming up to my partner while I was laying there getting ready to go to the X-ray machine to say, hey, tell your partner I'm sorry. I want to tell him that I didn't know, you know, and I didn't tase the guy. I could have, but I didn't. What I did was fall him. I wrestled in high school. I wrestled my butt off to try to get this guy cuffed until backup came. This is a schizophrenic who's probably twice the power of me, and I'm yelling for help on my radio, and he snatches my radio off. Now, I almost didn't come up because his hand was on my gun. But I want the public to understand that when they come to it, some of them say they don't care, but understand that your brother, your sister may have that same passion to go out and help people, and what it does, it takes understanding. And probably the reason why I have more understanding than some of these other officers is because I was a community service officer and a juvenile officer. Those were my two special two specialties through my 95% of my career. So I understand, you know, when it comes to that and dealing with the public. It's just, you know, if we, especially tonight, let the public know, how do you handle a situation when you approach a cop? What do you do? Does the system work for you? It absolutely does, because especially with Chicago, when you complain on them, they get a complaint number. And that number does not go away. And believe me, Internal Affairs Chicago will follow up on it, but you have to follow up on that complaint, too, and be sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be just mad and I'm a tail, you know. No, go in there with your facts. If your rights was violated, you go in there with those facts. Because one thing is for sure, Internal Affairs Chicago is going to deal with that officer. They're going to call that officer in. And, you know, I've had people file a complaint because of a ticket. Well, you know, hey, if you're going 30 over the limit and you're late for work and you're just mad because I wrote the ticket but I didn't curse you or yell at you, that's not really a true complaint. You know,
right.
Your complaint belongs in the courtroom to the judge to say that you were not speeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
But, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
Now, something that you said, Theo, struck me. Now, you said your initial position before becoming an officer, you worked for the community. What title was that again?
Community service officer. We organize the block club and go out, and you're supposed to speak with the residents and kind of educate them on police work.
The reason why I asked you that is it's, I'm not big a fan of officers. I'm sorry. I'm just not, just due to personal experiences I've had. But how open-minded you are has to be attributed to you being a community service officer, having an actual interaction with communities and people and mindsets and attitudes. I'm not sure if that's a prerequisite for officers. If not, it should be. Or are there certain ethics classes or behavioral classes officers have to take before they
go to the streets?
Yes, I'm thinking that it's something like that. Just seems like it would be imperative. You're going to be working with the community. You're working with a myriad of different personalities and people and kids and women and men. So it just seems like there needs to be more temperamental guidance before someone who has the authority to, you know, to jeopardize your livelihood, your lifestyle, your freedom, you know, can be put out there on the street. So what are your takes on that?
Well, I will say this much. Before I became a cop, I guess I would always tell my juveniles in high school that the high school I was at as a resource officer, actually the town that I worked at as a youth officer, when I speak at the schools, I tell them, I was a kid too. Also, I was a young black man at that point too. So I understood, how could you say, I understood both sides. I knew what I wanted to do when I was 16, but I had to be 21 in order to carry a gun. I knew the qualifications. I was only preparing myself for it. But before I got up to that point, a lot of my interactions with police officers were just, they were, some of them were good, some of them were bad. And when I became a police officer, you know, I think a lot of my personality contribute to, I guess most of the residents that I've always dealt with will say, he's a cool guy, he's an understanding guy, but when it came to doing his job, you just don't play with him. I'm stern, I'll fight you back like a bull and put the cuffs on you, get you downstairs and smile and say, hey, man, it's part of the game, it's over with, now, you know, I deal with the pen. But the fact is that some officers do not, they go for this job and say, I have the power. Some of them forget where they come from. They forget that, you know, the things that they're doing to kids was done to them. And, you know, I don't get it sometimes, you know, even when you're sitting in the patrol room and, you're working on your reports and you're listening to some of the things that the guys are saying, and, you know, you're real when you turn around and, you know, you scoot your chip back and turn around and say, you know what, man, I bet you did the same thing to a police officer when you were young. And
yeah.
I noticed, yeah, it's some that actually, I noticed, and now that you said it, Candace, there are some who really did not forget where they came from. Those usually are the most kinder officers that you run into. I've had guys, they will not write a ticket for loud music because they have loud music and they used to play loud music before
exactly.
They became the police. You know, so why would you pull up and tow a guy's car for loud music, cite him a ticket because it's just your job, but then when you go into the 50-yard line on Friday night, You're still bumping old school music louder than the kids in the car you sold.
All right.
You know?
Doing the
and
same thing.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the hypocrisy is there with some guys. They forget where they came from. I just promised when I did this job that I would do my best to help people as much as possible. I came in under the Clinton grant. So when I came in under the Clinton grant, I knew, you know, for more police on the street, you know, I was blessed that happened because today you can't even get a job.
Yep.
But I knew what I was supposed to do, and true enough, Candace, there are officers that when they have, I tell you what most departments do when they talk about the complaint that, you know, the attitudes that you run into. Sometimes there are departments that are very, very fed up with some of those officers that you're actually dealing with. They just never get that complaint. You know, the complaint they never come in. You know, believe me, Chicago keeps track of the complaints of their officers. State police keep track of their officers. Now, it depends, like when we were talking about Frankfurt and some of them other towns, I don't know how they keep track, but you know what? Their towns are small enough that if you want to talk, you know, if you go into their chief, I'm sure their chief will deal with it. A lot of it falls back on us when it comes to making those complaints against officers about their attitude. Because sooner or later,
that's true.
The straw has to break, the straw has to break at some point. You can keep bending and bending, but it's going to break at some point. So
right.
That's true.
You know,
I just think that some people, especially younger people, and I was younger when I had a particular incident, you know, and I'm the type, just like you hear me talking now, calm and cool, I've always been this way. So
yeah, I never heard you yell, Candace, never.
Yeah, I have.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, yes, he has. I can go there. But, you know, because I understand that this is his job, this is what he has to do in certain regards. But I've also had officers pull me over just to get my telephone number. You know, put the lights on, you know, just frivolous stuff.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, it's hard to decipher nowadays what officers you feel comfortable with, you can talk to, you know, and what officers who just come off the cuff. I had an officer just walk up to my car one day. I was on the expressway. Just give you a brief synopsis.
Hold on, Candace.
Wait.
Before you go into that, let's go ahead and go into a break.
Ahead.
Yeah, let's do a break, and then when we come back, I want to we'll let Candace finish her story, and then I got a couple of questions for you. I'm going to lay out a couple of scenarios, and I want you to tell me what can people do to avoid certain situations or how to handle certain pullovers and things like that. Truth Brothers Radio.
Absolutely.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Everybody, this is Ray Gage of Truth Brothers Radio, taking this time to say thanks to everyone who's tuned into the show.
You're on the rise, and we have you to thank for it. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to join our Facebook page, give us a review on iTunes, or drop us a line at wewanttruth@att.net. Also, don't forget to tell your friends about the show. Due to you spreading the word about the show, we are on our way to becoming the number one show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks again for joining the Truth Brothers family. Peace. Truth Brothers Radio.
Something is wrong with the government in which we live, wrong with the leaders that lead us, wrong with us in the way we respond to our enemy and each other. This nation is not about poor people, whether they're black, brown, red, yellow, or white. This nation is about rich people, and to hell with the weak and the poor. They must serve.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. We're in the middle of our second hour we're talking to Officer Theo Brooks. And going back to my story, just really quick, I was on the expressway one day, and I was going northbound on the expressway. Police car was facing southbound on the expressway. This guy turned around, came and followed me. Come to find out, this has been the same officer that had been following me and randomly pulling me over for approximately 3 weeks. Okay? Just for random stupid stuff. Now, nothing major. One day, my turn signal went out. So he pulled me over for that. Then said, well, your windshield wiper doesn't appear to be working properly. Really? I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't a big deal. You know, so it was a lot of frivolous stuff. Anyway, so he told me, he pulled me over, and then he came up to my car and just attempted to open my door. Didn't say anything to me. He just went and grabbed for my door. And I said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He said, I need you to step out of the car. I said, wait, what? And he's reaching in my window. He's reaching in my window now trying to open my door. What are you doing? You know, so it was a very frightening experience for me. And so finally, you know, after I got agitated enough, he stopped and started walking backwards toward the back of my car. And he put his hand out as if he were pointing to my taillight. And, you know, I'm thinking that maybe my taillight is busted or something happened. So not knowing, I got out of the car, and he arrested me. Now, he claims he arrested me because I didn't have insurance, this, that, or the other. But he had no words for me, anything of the sort. I mean, it was later on cleared up. But the way he treated me was just absolutely ridiculous. And,
was
you know,
it a white officer?
Correct. Yes, it was. Didn't say a word to me. Like I said, kind of inadvertently stalked me for weeks. You know, so
and,
I mean, he starts
my car.
Same
time every day he was there.
Say again.
Same time
yes.
every day he was at the
More
same location.
Right. I worked in a particular area, you know, so I would come through his area all the time. It was the same village.
You know, one what I would have done, Candace, was that.
A complaint was made.
Oh, it was made? What was the outcome? Did you know that they send you a letter to tell you?
No. No, they did not.
But it did stop after the complaint was made.
It did.
Okay. You did the right thing. Probably what should have, you know, if you did it like maybe one more before that, one ticket was done and to inconvenience your life. One thing, too, I want women was he in a marked car? I meant to ask that. Was his vehicle marked or was it unmarked?
No, he was in a regular squad car.
Okay. One point I do want to make with women, very please, especially guys too, when you're out of an area you don't know, always be careful of unmarked cars. Always, mm-hmm. always. In fact, there was a in the south suburbs, there was a period of people being pulled over by people impersonating the police officer. Now that the cycle of all these Crown Vics and Caprices mm-hmm. are no longer in service and they're being resold on the regular market, you know, you have to be careful for that. In fact, I just came back from Mississippi where they were having a string of them, and these guys were pulling the women out the car and raping them along the side of the highway. So that's one thing. Please be careful of that. Number two, whenever you encounter someone, an officer of that who's acting of that nature, that he just persistent about pulling you over, always have your license and proof of insurance ready. Always be polite. Let him explain why he's pulling you over. You shouldn't have to do no talking. If he asks a question, tell him you did not know. I'm telling you what to say. You did not know. He cannot get angry if you did not know. If you were speeding, I'm sorry, I did not. I swear I didn't know I was going that fast. Also, I was just listening to the music, and I was on my way home because I worked all day. Whatever it is, if he had enough common sense to know that, hey, he does it when he goes home. He's not paying attention. He's just driving. How many times we look down, and that's why I never wrote anybody under 15 miles per hour. You have to be doing 15 miles and over for Officer Brooks to write you a ticket, period. I don't care, side street, expressway, whatever. But nonetheless, you give him the information. He has nothing. He has no other reason to do it. Now, say if he pulls you over a second time, your flag should go up. Because if he lets you go with a warning the first time, or if he wrote you a ticket the first time, understand that you have two more strikes in the state of Illinois in a 12-month period before your license expires. I mean, before your license is suspended. So if he pulls you over a second time, you make sure you did everything right the first time mm-hmm. and the second time, and then go file that complaint. No, lightness should not strike twice with people. There are some who do have a heavy foot. There are some who go through the I've caught some people speeding twice, and usually on that second time, I wrote you a ticket because the first time you should have got a ticket, but I might let you slide because you did 15 over. But the second time, you're doing it on purpose, especially if I see like a radar detector in the window. Oh, you're trying to catch me, but you didn't know how to outsmart my radar. So my point is that after that second time, Candace, you file your complaint because he's endangering your license and he's actually harassing you by that second time. You know, yeah. You're not a game banger. You know, you're an everyday working person. You're not up and down the street blasting loud music or racing up and down the
exactly.
street every day. You're going to work. After that second time, you file that complaint, and 9 times out of 10, that investigation should be open on him. So he's not going to write you again. He better have a good reason if he writes you again. But if his buddy tries to do it, I'm just stretching this out. If his buddy tries to write you, then the conspiracy is definitely there, and I would get an attorney at that point because it's a departmental thing now. What I want people to understand is that you have the right to come and go as you please. If you're not breaking the law, and in the state of Illinois they ask you to have your seatbelt on when they pull you over, they ask you to have your license and your insurance. You're not mandated to give nothing else. Make sure your front seat passenger has a seatbelt on because he can get a citation too. But make sure that that's in order. If those things are in order, fine. If your taillight was out, he should have told you your taillight was out without you getting out of that car.
He did not say one word to me except get out of the car. And that was after he attempted to open my door. Luckily, I lock my doors when I get inside of my car.
Right.
So he couldn't just get in. But then he was reaching in my window. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
He was out of line.
It terrified me. He treated me like I was a criminal. He searched my car. He handcuffed me. He made me watch him do it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was way out of line. And actually, Candace, there are officers out there like that. And believe me, you may catch part of it, but there's nothing worse when a guy like that is your sergeant. And, you know, you're in the office and he tells you, you stop a guy for this, and you didn't write him else for this, Theo? No, because it's my discretion. I don't know about that. You know, that's not right. You know, you're not supposed to. You say to yourself, look, I'm the police. You mean to tell me I cannot write what the hell I want to write to a citizen that may break the law? You know, when I stop you, if you don't have your seatbelt on, it's my choice not to write you for no seatbelt. It's my choice if I want to let you go on if you did nothing wrong. I'm going to tell you, too, so far, that's why, Candace, there's not many like me behind, and I noticed that a lot of my buddies are now becoming lieutenants and commanders and chiefs, but there are very few of us behind because I've a guy like that who may be a sergeant may pull you over and say, write that lady a ticket. And I'll say, for what? Well, she didn't ever tell, like, you know, she should go to jail. Well, then you do it.
Really?
What?
I tell him, you
really?
Do it. And if he doesn't do it, what I'll do is I'll wait till he pull off and I'll say, Candace, have a nice day. Just get your tail light fixed when you come through again. And I'll take the butt of it, because you know, it's sometimes scary. It's scary like that, you know.
Seriously,
and
who are they serving and protecting?
Right.
Because
right.
I don't feel like it's me. I do not feel like it's me.
Right.
You know, and I hate to say that, you know, and I'm not saying that for all officers. I'm really not. There are you. There are some others that's on your team. And, you know, just random officers that I've known, you know, who
right.
are truly good guys and represent being a police officer well. But nowadays it's just too hard to decipher. It really is.
I think they went wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be funny about education, but when they start, when the one Chicago chief, Terry, I can't think of his last name, but when they decided to go 2 years college because it would help, it would help them in, I guess, decisions that they make on the street or so forth. It's, this whole police game is not about college. I mean, you get your lesson right out there on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you need to know how to use the computer in your car? Yes. Do you know? You know, I'm not trying to be funny. There's some officers, I'm hoping that maybe they so much under stress that, you know, I'm walking in a patrol room and one guy says, Brooks, how you spell duh? I say, you
there
serious?
You
know.
Mm. Hey,
you serious?
Check it out. Nisha Williams got a question. She wants to know that do black officers have to watch their back from the people on the street and for racist cops?
Nikisha, I will say
Nisha.
Nisha, okay. Nisha, I would say that there may be some departments where, yeah, if you have a black officer that's working in a majority white town or where there's majority white officers, I don't want to put some departments out there like this. But there are some in the South Suburbs where, you know, it's all black town, but they have all white officers and have few blacks. And, yeah, I've heard black officers make those statements.
Yeah.
You have to. That's when you're code blue or that blue line that you were talking about. That's when you really worry about it the most. I'm trying to think of the movie with Ice Cube. Way back.
From the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of like that. You know, you just, you get in that good old boy network, oh my God. How do you
we got a caller coming in, so let's get with this caller. 508, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Hey, family, this is Brother Justice. That's Glass Shield. He's talking about the movie from Ice Cube back then.
There you go.
Hey, Justice.
He's good.
Good to hear from your family. I've been away for a little bit, but still trying to tune in when I can. Another great show. Definitely another great show. The brothers throwing a lot of informative information. You know, there's so much opposition out there for brothers like this. And to come out there and have this venue, be able to, you know, get people to get, you know, a real perspective of what's happening, what's, you know, expected of someone out here, like a brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a brother over here in Massachusetts with a state trooper, and he deals with a lot of adversity. As the brother was saying, you know, there's so much opposition between, the races and your own kind coming at you, you know, with these certain expectations of, you know, needing favors and things of that nature. But just being able to, you know, uphold your obligation as a law officer and doing what's right is it's a great thing. I appreciate the brother.
Right. Absolutely.
And then,
absolutely.
Right. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick. When people are pulled over by the cops. Matter of fact, let me lay out a scenario that happened to me about 4 years ago. I'm working out in Cicero doing a job detail, and I had to go through Berwyn to get home. Now I'm going through one of the side streets making my way over to the expressway, and it was a nice September day. School had just started back up, and there was this little grammar school that was letting out. They had a police officer out there directing traffic so that the buses could get in and out, pick up the kids, and go to, and let traffic move on at the same time. Again, it was a nice summer day. It's about 80 degrees. I got the windows down, moon roof open, and I'm playing jazz in my Infiniti. Not even bumping hip hop. I'm playing jazz. And as the traffic was inching through, the police officer, he sees me in the car, and he starts staring at me. Now, I'm not saying anything. And all of a sudden, he comes out, "Turn that down." This is a factory system. Again, this is Coltrane playing.
Right.
So I look at him, and he say, "Do you hear me talking to you? Turn that down." I don't say anything. And I turn the radio down. Now, this is what ticked him off. For some reason, he got mad because I didn't say anything. I'm just looking at him. And the music went down, but he didn't see my hands leave the steering wheel. And I guess that irked him. So he looks at me like, "Oh, you think you funny, huh? Huh, do you want to go to jail?" I didn't say a word. I'm not saying anything to this guy. And he's getting mad because I won't respond. He wants me to banter with him, and I'm not going to do that. And he's, "Well, look here, do you want to go to jail? Because I can take that car. Do you want me to take that car?" Dude, I'm just looking at him. Just looking at him. Just waiting. Because I'm like, if you're going to, you want me out this car, you're going to pull me out this car in front of this grammar school, in front of all these people, and I'm not going to say a word because they're not going to say that I was sitting here arguing with you for any way, shape, or form. So he looked at me and say, "Why won't you talk?" I say, "I do have the right to remain silent." That's the only thing I said. I do have the right to remain silent.
Right.
Then he
right.
told me, "Get the fuck on. Get the fuck on. Okay, no problem." But he was looking. He was pushing for a confrontation.
Yeah.
And I would like for you to tell people out there how to handle stops when you dealing with an aggressive officer. I always learned that when you're dealing with anybody aggressive, if you take the opposite task, that will calm the situation down.
It does. It does. And you know what makes me mad? And I'm gonna tell you would have beat that ticket anyway. Because at one point, I don't know if it was that white officers did not understand what it meant by loud music, but we had a summer where loud music was just out of control, and you know they had gave an order down and had passed an ordinance to tow vehicles and cite them $200 tickets for loud music. But the statute says amplified loud music, not music from the factory radio. Amplified loud music. He can, and you were allowed, your music can be played as loud as you want to in your car. See, that's where he was wrong. That's where he was dead wrong when he told you to turn your music down because your music was not amplified. You just so happen to have a sunroof and he can hear. And that's not against the law. It's not disturbing anybody's peace. You're not disturbing. To disturb somebody's peace from that music, number one, for that ordinance, that means I'm in my bed and I may have work midnight. I'm waking up and cause somebody just rolled past my house and rattled the hell out of my furniture in the front.
Right.
That's loud music.
Right, which in the 90s was becoming a problem because people had amplified music and then they were playing it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And
right.
That's when all of those ordinances start coming down.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's when he would have had the right to say something. But he didn't have the right to say something to you. You were driving on your way, minding your business with a factory radio. So in that perspective, he was dead wrong. He doesn't even fit. It didn't fit the citation if he had took your car or anything. He was looking. You're right. He was looking for a confrontation.
He was looking for a confrontation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you were black and you were having a good day.
Yeah.
You know. And I hate to say it, but sometimes it's like that. Sometimes some people are so miserable, Ray, in their lives that that's how in the hell they act with that badge.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another caller on the line, too. Let's get to him real quick. 773, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Excellent.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. What you got to say?
Well, I had an incident a few years ago before I moved back to Chicago. I came up to visit my mom, and in the state of Michigan, you're only required to have a back plate, and because I didn't have a front plate, they issued me 3 tickets.
Mm.
So I had to come back to Chicago to go to court to have the judge throw all of that stuff out. That was a waste of time and trip.
Mm.
And every time I came to Chicago, I always had an issue because I only had a back plate on my car.
Antoinette, when you had the plate, was the plate that you had on your car a Michigan plate?
Yes, it was.
And they turn around and try to write you for not having. Well, let me let you know, first of all, sweetheart, you're right. If that vehicle came back registered to Michigan, that meant that you are in compliance with Michigan laws. That ticket should not have been written. So, you know, that was problem number one. You said every time you come back, they try to write the same ticket?
Every time I came back for about 6 months, they tried to write a ticket because I didn't have a front plate.
Okay. The next time something like that happens, dear, you file a complaint with that department. Is it the same officer or is it different officers?
Different officers.
Okay.
But it was like on the west side of Chicago. In almost any place I went on the west side.
Okay.
I
had to laugh at that one. Yeah. In my personal experience, I don't want to get interfere, but in my personal experience, that seems to be one of the worst areas when it comes to law enforcement, or with the way they handle their situation is on the west side of Chicago. One of the worst places.
Yeah. And it's not one of the suburbs. It is Chicago Police that's doing this.
Chicago Police. 11th District, 15th District, those areas.
Right. You know, what I would do is you're getting, now is it a parking ticket or a moving violation?
It was, two of them was moving violations. One was a parking ticket.
Right. You know what? When next time the officer approaches you, or if you have that happen and he says you're supposed to have a front, you politely say, you know, officer, you know, I am from Michigan. I have Michigan plates. And you are not to be in compliance with the Illinois law. You are allowed to have the, you know, a one plate on the back because you're not from the state of Illinois. If that officer is to, go ahead, if that officer is to write you a citation, it is time to file a complaint. I want people to understand that when something happens to you more than once, that is not, you know, to me, it's almost like lightning trying to strike twice, strike twice in the same place. It doesn't happen. A lot of times,
I explained to him the very first time that they issued me the ticket that I didn't. Michigan doesn't require you to have a front plate. Because when you go to the Secretary of State in Michigan to register your vehicle, they just give you one plate with a tag on it. That's it. They don't give you two tickets like in Illinois.
That even shouldn't even be strange to Chicago police, because that's the same applies in Indiana. You only need one plate in Indiana, and Chicago should be very familiar with people from Indiana.
Right, right. And one thing I want, you know, reason why I say that, I know some people hate to do it, but sometimes when officers do that, sometimes you have to file that complaint, because what you don't know is that some officers are one strike away from being fired. We have have your rights. I mean, trust me, I have seen officers that are one right up away from being fired. The chief, the deputy chief, the investigator, they're tired of some of these officers. You will be surprised how many Chicago police officers are fired. I personally know about that. And, you know, it's 1,300 officers. They will always replace one. And if that officer or officers who may be targeting your car, because remember, they all talk to each other. They all eat. They all have coffee, especially if the district is right there on top of each other. They all associate with each other. They drink with each other at the bar. It may have been a simple conversation. That, man, I pulled over this car with this chick in it, man, from Michigan. I believe that's so-and-so boy, you know, girlfriend or man, I'm going to get him, man, because I seen her up by his house or however the conversation go. All they need to do is remember Michigan plate on the back, the description or color of your vehicle, and that officer, he would honestly feel he's doing the right thing. And, you know, I'm not trying to go bad against, you know, my fellow officers, but some officers just, I wouldn't, how could I say, I mean, I can do without them. I prefer to ride a one-man unit than work with some officers.
Right.
Period. Yeah.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Theo, Nisha is asking, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Nisha is asking, stating that that's interesting, but what do you do for a veteran cop who receives numerous complaints?
Actually, a veteran cop who received numerous complaints, usually the progressive punishment has already started. What some people don't know is that usually, from my knowledge, when it comes to suspensions, they start with that written reprimand. You know, if the commander says, you know, okay, this veteran officer, you know, he hasn't done anything or hasn't had a complaint in over a year. Because remember, veteran officers are smart. They don't want too many complaints to come in on them. That one complaint turns from verbal to written. After that written, it becomes one day. The next one becomes a 3-day. And then the maximum is the 5-day in which that officer ends up before the police and fire commission. And that's when he, you know, he can end up being terminated. So you have to just stay behind them.
Man, still a lot of information. There's still a lot of stuff we didn't cover. I got a feeling we're going to have to do a part 3 in the future of this thing, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
You got
yeah.
too many. We got
well,
way more people come in and ask more questions this week. I guess something happened between last week and this week to get some response out of you.
Well, once again,
relevant and it's great information. It's information we need to know. I know I've been educated tonight, and I thank you for that.
Oh,
so,
no
yeah,
problem.
We definitely have to do that. We definitely have to do this again.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're definitely going to have you back, man. Thank you for coming in 2 weeks in a row. And right now, you're the all-time champ. Last week was our highest-rated episode for this year so far. So right now, you're the holding champ, man.
Do I get the championship belt?
If you can hold it all year, yeah.
But I won't have no – I can't hold it like Hulk Hogan for a couple years then, huh?
We'll see, man, because we definitely going to have you back, man. So thanks a lot, man. You are one of the wonderful guests, and you're definitely a fan favorite, man.
No doubt.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ray, Candace, and Devon. I love you guys. And everyone out there, just remember, you know, be patient. You don't have to argue with an officer. Just, you know, remember, you have more control than he does. If he's going to give the ticket, it doesn't mean that you're guilty of it. That's just him in the beginning of the process.
All right.
In that order.
All right, man. And thanks a lot, guys. This has been another great show, man. We've done it again, man. This was a great show. Thank you, guys. And we will jump back into another topic next week.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm ready.
All right.
It's been real.
All right. So we're going to sign off, and we're going to leave you like this. If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace.
Two fingers out.
Peace.